The Southeast Conference of Mayors discussed the state's process for using herbicides, and the Haines Assembly begins interviewing candidates for manager. It's KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Several Southeast communities have weighed in about the state's move to do away with the public review and permitting requirement for using herbicides and pesticides on state property. Haines and Skagway have sent letters to the state expressing concern about the change in process and especially how it might affect local fish habitat. Now, the Southeast Conference of Mayors is also speaking out about the policy change. The change means state agencies, like the Department of Transportation, no longer need a permit from the State Department of Environmental Conservation to use chemicals on state properties and right-of-ways. That permit process used to require a public comment period. Now, the DOT just has to give notice it's using the chemicals. That causes concerns for some boroughs and towns with a lot of state roadways or property. The Southeast Conference of Mayors met on teleconference on October 22nd. Southeast Conference Executive Director Shelley Wright said the mayors had several issues on their agenda, including discussion of the herbicide policy. For that part of the discussion, they also talked with Karin Hendrickson, Pesticide Control Program Coordinator with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, and Mike Coffey with the Department of Transportation. Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott described the discussion during last week's Haynesboro Assembly meeting.
Ms. Hendrickson told the mayors, one, public opinion doesn't matter, and two, though the state has considered the impact of the pesticide program on the ASME marketing of Alaska wild salmon from the pristine waters of the state has concluded that there will be no impact if it becomes generally known that herbicides are used in the state. I think it is safe to say and sufficient that the mayors did not agree with either of these statements.
Hendrickson, in an email, didn't argue with Mayor Scott's comments about what she said, but she did clarify that while the DEC recognizes some individuals have strong opinions regarding the use of pesticides, and they acknowledge those opinions, decisions about pesticide risks are based on scientific analysis. Hendrickson writes that the state does not have statutory authority to restrict legal activities due to public opposition. And in regards to the effect of pesticide use on seafood marketing, Hendrickson wrote that pesticide use by state land managers is common in most states. Asked how the state concluded the use of chemicals in Alaska wouldn't have an effect on seafood marketing, Hendrickson wrote the DEC does not believe pesticide use will have significant impacts on consumers' perception of Alaska fish products. Wright of the Southeast Conference said the mayors are working on a resolution about the state's use of chemicals, although work on the resolution is not yet complete. Tuesday, the Haines Assembly meets to interview candidates for the manager position. There are four candidates out of 20 applicants the Assembly decided on for a first round of interviews. Although the group said in their last meeting on the manager position, they have not eliminated anyone at this point and could bring back a name from the original applicants if they choose. The first interviews will take place at the library so the Assembly can use Skype to talk with the candidates. Because the Assembly is meeting as a committee of the whole, the public can attend. Each interview will last 45 minutes. The candidates include Jim Pascal of Princeton, New Jersey at noon, followed by David Sosa of Hampstead, North Carolina, Carlo Pilgrim of Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, and Susan Jensen of Anchorage. Two Sitkins suffered symptoms of paralytic shellfish poisoning after eating clams harvested in the Stargaven Creek area near the community's ferry terminal. State Health Official Louisa Castrodale says a man and woman had to seek treatment at a hospital emergency room after consuming the clams last Friday. She says they ate two clams each and developed typical symptoms for limited exposure.
Tingling in the around the mouth and tingling in the fingers, the lips, things like that. Sometimes they can have gastrointestinal symptoms like nausea and vomiting. This is just in general. And then folks who are more severely affected can have muscle weakness or issues breathing.
Both patients were treated and released. The State Environmental Health Laboratory analyzed leftover clams. Testing found the PSP toxin. You've heard this before, but Castrodale stresses there's no way of knowing what shellfish is safe to eat.
There's no broad testing program for recreationally harvested shellfish. And so you can't tell if there's a toxin or paralytic shellfish poisoning in shellfish by just looking at it.
Commercially sold shellfish are tested and only sold if they're safe. Clams, mussels, oysters, gooey ducks, and scallops can contain the poison. Crab meat is not known to hold the toxin, but crab guts can. More information can be found through the State Department of Health website. Samson Tug and Barge is gearing up for a major expansion on November 8th. The family-run shipping company is taking over the role of Northland Services in Southeast Alaska. KCAW's Emily Foreman has this update.
In recent years, Samson Tug and Barge hasn't had much of a presence in Southeast. Vice President Corey Baggin says that's because the company moved operations west after the decline in the Southeast Alaska timber industry.
But to be real honest, the only time we were truly, truly profitable at Samson, I mean, where we could honestly say we're completely successful, was when my grandfather was a prohibition agent back in the days of prohibition. I think we did really, really well hauling cargo back then. I've heard great stories.
Now Samson is expanding its operations because Alaska Marine Lines is purchasing Northland Services, AML's only competitor in the region. The deal brokered by the Alaska Attorney General's office requires that AML assist Samson to ensure competition in Southeast.
People have asked us where we're going to be in Southeast Alaska. We essentially are purchasing all of Northland's assets and taking over all of their facilities in Southeast Alaska. So we will be moving into their two facilities in Juneau. We will have an operation. It might be fairly limited, but we will have an operation in Petersburg.
The company will also move into facilities in Ketchikan, Craig, Wrangell, and Metlakatla. Baggin says that it already purchased thousands of pieces of new equipment as part of the expansion. She stresses that Samson will operate all of its own equipment and is very familiar with handling large volumes of equipment. Although the Attorney General tasked AML to assist Samson with its expansion, Baggin says her company mainly worked with Northland's regional managers. Samson has already hired a few Northland employees. Baggin's goal is to hire all the Northland employees in Southeast.
We are so fortunate. Here in Sitka, we're going to be taking on a couple new employees. We'll be taking on new employees all over Southeast Alaska. We've already brought on 7 employees in Seattle. Some of you might be familiar with Dalen McDonald. He ran the Northland warehouse and the Jor warehouse before him for the last 23 years. He has agreed to come on board and setting up that warehouse, and he brought along with him his top 4 warehouse staffs.
Baggin plans to hire 40 people, maybe more, but that will depend on competition with Alaska Marine Lines for cargo. A Seattle warehouse will open on November 1st in preparation for the first Southeast sailing on November 8th. More than anything, Baggin is determined to maintain a presence in Southeast Alaska.
So we're really excited to kind of dig our heels in and say, no, we're not moving our finance office, our accounting office to Seattle. We are going to be here in Sitka, and we're going to be running this company right here from our hometown.
In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
Here's a story from our friends in Ketchikan, although it has some wider-reaching effects. The public comment period on the proposed Kerr Sulfuritz Mitchell, or KSM, mine in British Columbia near Ketchikan has closed, but some advocacy groups still plan to fight it. Environmental, native, and fishing groups oppose construction of the mine, which would tap into Canada's largest undeveloped gold deposit because of its potential effect on the water and fish populations surrounding it. Here's Chris Zimmer from the Alaska-based Rivers Without Borders.
And the big concern for people on the Alaskan side downstream is that the mineral deposit up there has a high potential of generating a massive amount of acid mine drainage and heavy metals, which is highly toxic to fish.
That acid drainage created by a massive network of open pit and underground mines could threaten hooligan runs near the mouth of the Unik River, which empties into Beam Canal. Rivers Without Borders, along with a number of subsistence and commercial fishing groups, has pushed back against the proposal, which is now under review by authorities in British Columbia. Zimmer says, though, that opposition to the mine is unique in that it brings together a number of groups that might not usually be aligned.
So I think if we have serious impacts to the Unik and start to see declines in the hooligan and the salmon, that's going to affect people across the spectrum of life here in Southeast, whether you're a commercial sport, customary and traditional, tribe, native, non-native. I think anybody that depends on the fish and the water and the Unic should be worried about this KSM mine.
Alaska opposition to the mine faces challenges because the development is on the Canadian side of the border. But Zimmer says he and other groups plan to lobby the U.S. State Department in hopes it will pressure Canada to reject the KSM proposal. Officials in B.C. will review the proposal from Canada-based developer Seabridge over the next few months. Then the company will be told whether or not it needs to submit more information for approval. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Robert Woolsey and Sean Carlson for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klekwan. But we're more than just your local news. We also collaborate with other Southeast public radio stations to keep you informed of regional issues that affect us locally. We bring you these wider-reaching stories along with local news to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained. And we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.